Good morning and welcome to the Communication Corner. I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton on WBCX 89.1 FM, the voice of Brunel University. Brunel University in Gainesville, Georgia, broadcasting from the John W. Jacobs Building. Here with my co-host, program producer, station general manager, Christina Rhodes. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, you know, things will get lively around here pretty soon with school starting again.
Right. In just a couple weeks, the students will be back and the faculty will be back and we'll be back in business here at Brunel. The restaurant's opening up and classes starting. It's going to be pretty exciting around here.
Yeah. And speaking of restaurants, you and I'll be glad to have the tea room open so we can take our Communication Corner guests back there after the program when they're available.
Absolutely. We've been having to go off campus for our food over the summer, so it'll be good to have that back for sure.
Yeah, we'll have coffee and conversation close by.
Right.
Well, Christina, as you know, we have a very exciting local guest this morning, someone that I've met only recently, but I'm very familiar with his organization, and I'm delighted to introduce him to our listeners. Rich Gallagher, the CEO and president of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. Rich, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, as you and I became acquainted a short time ago, I found out that your relationship with the Y started a long time ago, professionally, as I remember, maybe about 1986. But up until that time, you really got acquainted with the Y as a volunteer. How did that happen, and what were some of the things that you were involved with as a volunteer?
Well, again, my career started when I was 15 years old, folding towels and a counselor, and truly working in the YMCA then at 15 years old. I saw a lot of volunteers coming in and throughout my career doing other things, whether if it wasn't in the Y, doing another profession, I made sure that I was involved in the Y as a volunteer. And so throughout those years, I saw that it was truly important as the YMCA goes forward. The YMCA is a volunteer organization.
Volunteer-driven.
That's right. We are a volunteer-driven organization that it is very important that everybody knows that. Because without volunteers, we can't make it. Without our coaches, without our board members, without those helping at the front desk and volunteering their time, we need it. So, and starting out at 15, I noticed and saw that the YMCA truly is that great place in the community, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Then you became an employee and then eventually chief operating officer and now the head honcho, president and CEO of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. You and I have also recognize the great value of volunteers and how great the volunteer spirit is here in Northeast Georgia.
That's right. And again, the volunteer spirit of America, for that matter, you know, we start seeing in this economy that it's going to take more volunteers. It's going to take that fight spirit that we have in America to all push together and mold together to make sure that we get our mission and our cause out to those that need it.
And thank goodness they're there. Well, now I want to move along to another question. Rich, you said something about you as a volunteer and as a professional official that you believe very strongly in the mission of the YMCA. Could you capsule for us what to you is that mission?
The mission of the YMCA for me is to fill the gaps in the community. We go into the community, and where there is a gap, we try to fill it as far as looking in to whether that gap is working with children, whether it's working with youth or seniors. We go in there, and we try to find the gap, such as when we went into Lumpkin County, into White County. We looked at what the gaps were and how the YMCA could truly help. And if there weren't any gaps, then the YMCA stays and says, okay, that, you know, that they don't need us right now, but they will. Such as White, Lumpkin, and Hall. We're in those three counties right now, and again, the other five that are in our service area. We know there will be a day that the YMCA will be needed in those five. We have been asked by several other counties to come and look and see how we can get started there. But the mission for us is truly to serve our community in every way that we can. from what we say the cradle to the grave.
Historically, how long has the YMCA been around? I suppose most of us have been aware of YMCAs, but it's not really a new organization, is it?
It is not. And now, Bill, you have challenged me, and you know, you have given me some of these questions, and so I've had to do a little bit of studying and digging. So I appreciate it, but yes, the YMCA has been going since the mid 1800s, and has been a organization that has truly, again, served many different populations from London to America, and as in the here in America. As you and I were talking earlier, off the radio, off the air, is that it also served our military, and going through and setting up tents and serving the military in World War II. And, the YMCA has had a strong history from starting, and inventing sports to, doing things that, truly are out of the box, again, to make sure that we adapt over time and that we serve the population of the day.
Well, speaking of sports, Christina wanted to ask you a question about inventing sports.
Yes, I am a basketball fan, and I heard that some of the early beginnings of basketball were at the YMCA, and the YMCA was involved. Tell me a little bit about that, if you will.
Sure. James Naismith invented basketball, and again, Bill and I were talking, and Bill has done some research on it as well. So going back and forth with it, you know, they invented basketball to try to find an inside sport. And so it started with the peach baskets. And, of course, they threw the basketball into the peach basket. And they realized that when they threw it in the basket, the other end of the sport was they had to get the ladder, get the ball out of the peach basket. So pretty soon they busted.
Pretty cumbersome.
Yeah, it was. It was a sport that wasn't catching on. Imagine if it was still going on in the NBA today. You know, they had to get the ladder, but anyway.
Do that 100 times
a game.
Yeah,
do that 100 times a game. It might be a whole different sport. But basketball was invented in the YMCA in Springfield, Massachusetts. And I wish we still had rights on it. I wish that somehow the YMCA wouldn't have, I wish there was some way we could capture the rights on that.
But yeah, those residuals would be pretty nice, wouldn't they?
It would be great, but good question.
Well, we do, many of us who think of the YMCA think of the athletics there. And I notice as I've gone to the Y not too long ago that you've had a very active summer camp. What's gone on in the summer camps?
We have over 600 students in our summer camp. From White County, Lumpkin County, and here in Hall County. In Hall County, we have three locations that we are serving. Our camps have gone everywhere from Six Flags to Unicoi to all over the place. They've been able to do crafts, and they've had field trips. But the really neat thing about our camps is we try to get the kids to, as you said earlier, a place to belong. A lot of these kids come from areas that they don't feel like they belong. So we try to get them with excellent counselors, fantastic staff that care about them, and ask them about their day, and really try to be that home away from home when they're at camp. And it, again, it's day camp; it's not residence camp. But for them, they're under our care, and we consider them ours while they're with us. So. Yeah, day camp this summer has been a blast. It's been great to see these kids going up and down the hallways of our facilities.
Is it for members only, or are for other kids as well?
Oh, it is, sure. It's for everybody. You don't have to be a member for any of our programs. You don't have to be a member for soccer, baseball, any of our senior. We've got some senior programs out there as well that we encourage people to come in and. We do have what we call program membership as well as a regular membership. So if you just want to be involved in a program, you can just come in and pay for that one certain program and not have to pay for the membership fees. But we do encourage you to become a member because there is so much you can do with that membership.
Rich, I'm going to ask Christina to take a minute and remind our listeners where they are. And when we come back from that, I want to talk with you about the economics of the why, because I think we need to know how the YMCA makes it affordable for those who may not could have afforded it. Christina?
This is co-host and program producer Christina Rhodes, reminding you that you have joined the Communication Corner with your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. We broadcast this interview program every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and rebroadcast Thursday at 6 a.m. The Communication Corner is a program that talks about the issues you are talking about constantly, and we bring in experts who share their viewpoints with us. Today's guest is Rich Gallagher, CEO, President of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. Please note that Dr. Bill's blog, posted later today, will include the podcast of this program, plus a photo of Bill with Rich Gallagher. Here's the web address for that blog, thecompletecommunicator.com. And if you need a repeat of that web address so you can write it down, here it is again, thecompletecommunicator.com.
Thank you, Christina, the lady with the network voice. Rich, as I was saying just before the station ID, many people wonder, can I affiliate with the Y, or is it too expensive? My family would love to be there. I've got young children who would benefit. And as adults, I know we need physical fitness as well. It's got a great atmosphere. What are the economics of becoming a member?
Well, we have, first of all, we want to make sure that nobody is turned away. We want to be able to help anybody that comes through our door, especially we've seen some families that because of the things that are going on in their lives, we're the one thing that they can come in as a family and swim together and play together. And we believe in families swimming together and playing together. We believe a family that plays together stays together. And so we want them in. And so we have what we call an open door policy. Open door policy, and as well as our sliding scale. Those are two ways. The open door is we make sure that if they can't pay, what can they pay? If they can't pay the full membership, what can they pay? And we start, we have counselors that will work with them and try to see how we can better serve them. And then as far as, again, our sliding scale, that when you come in, you will, if you want to be on that sliding scale, you can, whatever your income is based on what your membership will be. So it's based upon your income. So we're trying to make it easy in every way that we can to serve everybody that we can. And in White County, I will say one of the concerns was when we got to White County is they had had several scholarships and different plans and things like that for sports. Well, I'm glad to say that we haven't turned anybody. We haven't turned anybody away in White County or in Lumpkin County that I know of that wanted to play sports. We've tried to truly serve everybody that we can, as well as Hall County.
One of the things that I'm aware of, because I happen to know her personally, knew her when she was in banking, Cindy Wilson has joined your Y as a to head your charitable giving program. Let's talk some about that. For example, does the charitable giving, is that one way that you're able to make up the gap between those who can't pay and those who can? And what else does your charitable giving accomplish for you?
Sure. We call it our Partners of Youth. That's one portion. Of course, we have our capital campaign and other campaigns, but our Partners of Youth program, POY as we call it, is that money that we raise to pay for those scholarships. You're right. If it's coming out of one bucket, it's got to go into another bucket. And so that bucket for us is POY. Cindy Wilson is an all-star. We feel very blessed that we've been allowed to bring her on the team. And we are assembling a team together of leaders that truly is impressive. We've got some really good people on board that are wanting to see the mission of the YMCA go further. So the YMCA is in a great position right now, and as we get all the leadership in place, we're excited. But Cindy has been working with all of our directors and branches, and she's been working very hard, especially over the last couple of weeks with me and my transition in leadership, to make sure that we get all of our directors up to speed on making sure that those scholarship buckets are full, So when we do have that family come through the door, that we don't have to turn anybody away. So it's very important that we start seeing people donate to the YMCA so those buckets don't go empty.
Well, as a matter of fact, your J.A. Walters YMCA here in Gainesville, charitable giving was a big part of its origin.
That's right. The YMCA, of course, now is almost 10 years old here in Gainesville. And so when it first started out, there were many. That's how the YMCA started. It's a group of people that say, hey, we want a Y. And they not only start donating their time, but, of course, they donate their finances and pledges, and they get it together. And pretty soon you have a trailer with an after-school program and a soccer program. And then as the money comes, you get a couple more trailers and maybe even rent a building. And now you've got a soccer program and a baseball program and two after-schools. Well, now, of course, we have a very gorgeous building out on the expressway. We've got a gorgeous building with – we now have 31 after-school sites. Very healthy soccer program and baseball and different sports and aquatic center. So, you know, over 10 years we've grown, but again, we've grown because of those that wanted to give. We cannot survive without the donations and the open hearts of those that truly understand our mission.
You mentioned at the outset of our conversation, Rich, that charitable organizations, like every other organization, have felt the impact of the economic crunch nationally. Those of us who have kept any eye on the scene at all have noticed, of course, let's say that in Atlanta and other major cities, there are charitable organizations that have consolidated, there are charitable organizations that have downsized their staff, there are those that have even had to close shop. Yet at the same time, if you look every year at the report of Giving USA, it's amazing that the last time I looked at it, when those records started being kept of giving in America, there were only over a period of decades, there were only one or two years that giving in America did not increase. And again, I guess I would go back to Alexis de Tocqueville, who talked about what a giving, supportive society we are, which gives great hope to those who believe in charitable giving for organizations and who want to support the mission. And this is why you can remain optimistic.
That's right. That's right. We, again, the American way is fight. The American way is to not give up. And in this economy, there are so many that have said, we're not going to give up. We're going to make sure that we get everybody served. We're going to make sure that the YMCA is here for generations and generations. And not just us, but other, we've been working with, and I've been meeting with every other week, other nonprofits, and we're all getting together trying to help one another. Because at this time, it's going to take unity of communication and again, that American way of getting us all together and helping one another, especially through this time. We'll make it. We'll get through this financial time. I believe not only as an organization, but also as America. We'll get through it.
One more thing I want to say about the origin of the Y. It was very interesting to me as I did a little reading about it, Rich, was that the Y started out, from what I read, and you can correct me on this, but from what I read, it really started out as sort of almost a housing unit for young people who were moving to the big sinful city.
Bill, would you just start singing the song for me? Go ahead. I want to see you do the motions. I want to see you do the motions and the song for me.
I think you can finish what I started. Pick it up from there.
Well, truly, it is. It is a place for, and I know we're starting to sing the song in our heads, but it was. It was a place for
you don't want to hear me sing.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Me either. It was. It was built for, it was started for young men, of course, to be able to stay and take care of them. Again, filling the gap. The YMCA has always filled the gap. The gap then was young men and that were coming home from wars and didn't have anything and trying to get back into society. And, And truly that YMCA started housing them, taking care of them and making sure the transition was there. And then as you start seeing in the 60s and 70s, that need was no longer there, but it was now there for families needing, so you started seeing the Indian Guide program start up, and Indian Guides was working with dads and sons. And then pretty soon you had other programs pop up for families, and then the transition to where we are today. But it did start out where, you know, of course you stayed at the YMCA.
Yes. And when you did that, you got, low cost housing, you got a safe surrounding, and you also got moral guidance that you wouldn't be getting in the big city elsewhere.
You know, truly the C in the YMCA. Actually one of the YMCAs I started out in Springfield, Missouri, it was a 6-story YMCA. The fitness center was on the first floor. Second floor was administration. And then everything up was residence. And that was, you know, in the early 90s, it was still going. And I think there are still some residence YMCAs out there, but not like, of course, it was.
One of the things that the local media mentioned 6 or 8 months ago that I saw that I'd like you to comment on was that the YMCA is not going to really be referred to in the public eye as much as the YMCA, but it's going to be abbreviated to the Y. Now, we all know that people have called it the Y unofficially for
That's
a
right.
long time, but what does this change in, I guess I'll use a big word, what does this change in nomenclature really mean?
Really, truly, and you nailed it. We've all called it the Y. If you look at the new Y logo, it still has our triangle, which is spirit, mind, and body. It still has our triangle in it. It is a little bit newer. It's a little bit more cutting edge. But if you also look on there, it does have YMCA still on the logo. So you'll still see, you know, Young Men's Christian Association is still there. But we call it a rebranding. A rebranding to let everybody know that we have a cause. We want to be a cause-driven organization. And so by our rebranding, we wanted to really have almost a rebirth of sorts to let the community know that the Y is here because it is truly a cause-driven. So by starting, for one purpose, for starting the new logo was a rebirthing. And the other reason for the logo is if you go to all these YMCAs, their logo is different. You get, it's red and black, and yes, the red and black was known more than any other logo out there. And there has been controversy in some, with, you know, was this the right move and such. But if you go from the angle of marketing, it has helped, you know, to get our new logo out. Also with our new branding, we want to make sure that everybody does understand, that we are still the YMCA. We are still the same, and that we just have a new logo, new colors.
And you're not restricted, is what it's saying, to young men who are Christian. You have obviously adults.
That's
you
right.
have
We're
families.
All families. We serve different population than just men. So that again, that's another reason for switching that logo. But again, getting the logo to be the same at every YMCA. Imagine if the M on McDonald's was different wherever you went, and you're trying to figure out, is that the same M or is that a different M?
Hey, where's that big arch, huh?
Yeah, you know, so again, just getting the logo to where there's rules and regulations with it for the Ys, for us, so we have the same logo from here to the West Coast to East Coast.
To clarify, there still are YWCAs around?
That is true. That is true. And there's not many of them. They have struggled throughout the years, just like every other nonprofit, but they are still going strong. Matter of fact, when I was a aquatics director in Bristol, Virginia, we had a YWCA right across the street. And so I don't know how many. Again, Bill, you have challenged me, and I feel like I'm in a quiz more than a radio show. But
20 questions.
I'm telling you. But I don't know how many, but I do know that they are still out there. And as all nonprofits, I wish them the best.
That's an interesting, fascinating history. I know one thing. When a person walks into the YMCA, there's one thing that they become aware of pretty quickly, and that's a code of conduct.
Yes.
It's posted all around. You expect a certain type of behavior from people who come there, whether they're guests or whether they're members.
Character, responsibility. We have all of our different characteristics that we expect, not just from our adults, but from our kids. But we want a clean, safe, fun place. And we get that. We have people that come through those doors and, they're there to have fun and to work out. And, we do pride ourselves though in a fun, safe environment for all families. And again, from the littlest to, the most mature. I don't say oldest anymore.
I appreciate that.
We say recycled teenager is what we say instead of senior. So,
Well, one thing I've said, and I don't know if Christina has heard me say it before, but please don't call me a senior citizen because seniors are close to graduation.
That's
I'm not ready to graduate yet.
Being promoted up, is that what you're saying?
Right. That's right. All right, Christina, let's take a little break here.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in to 89.1 FM WBCX, the voice of Brenau. This is co-host and program producer Christina Rhodes reminding you that you have joined the Communication Corner with your host, Dr. Bill Lampton. We broadcast this interview program every Tuesday. It's a little tongue-tied there, Bill.
Well, remember, I couldn't say Communication Corner a couple
right.
of weeks ago.
We all have our moments,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
We broadcast this program every Tuesday live at 9 a.m.
And that's the thing. We broadcast live. This is live. This is not Memorex.
It is. No editing here. We rebroadcast this interview Thursdays at 6 a.m. The Communication Corner is a program that talks about the issues you're talking about constantly, and we bring in experts who share their viewpoints with us. Today's guest is Rich Gallagher, CEO, President of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. Please note that Dr. Bill's blog posted later today will include the podcast of this program, plus a photo of Bill with Rich Gallagher. Here's the web address for that blog, thecompletecommunicator.com. Again, if you need to write that down, that's thecompletecommunicator.com. We're going to take a short break. You'll want to stick with us. To contact WBCX, you can call 770-538-4744, or you can visit us on the web via Facebook, Twitter, and our website at brenau.edu/WBCX.
Extraordinary lives from Brenau University.
I had everything going for me. A husband, a child, and a job I loved. And then things just fell apart. I got divorced, and suddenly my job as a teacher's assistant could no longer pay the bills. It was a terrible blow. But I didn't feel self-pity. Only this overwhelming sense that this was my life, and I wanted to make it the best life I could for me and my son. So I went back to school and enrolled in Brenau University. At Brenau, I found classrooms full of people just like me, motivated adults who wanted to better their careers and their lives. In 1 year, I'll be a licensed school teacher with my own first grade classroom. Life can knock you down, but you can change that life. At Brenau University, you can make your life extraordinary.
Now with two Atlanta campuses, Norcross and Fairburn, as well as Gainesville and online, register at gobrenau.com. That's GOBRENAU.com. Brenau University, extraordinary lives.
Hi, I'm Mark Dove, the host of Sounds of Jazz, heard Saturday evenings from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Brenau. So tell me, what's your pleasure? Big bands? Jazz vocalists? Modern small group combos? Cool tone guitarists? Jazz legends, unsung heroes, the up-and-coming stars of tomorrow, where you can hear all the above and more on Sounds of Jazz. We also keep you informed of the latest jazz happenings in North Georgia and around the world. That's Sounds of Jazz with Mark Dove every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Brenau.
Hi, I'm Tori Nicole Bailey. August 13th, we will present our fourth Back to School Rally, and we ask you to take advantage of a great day of fun and history. For each school student that takes a tour of the museum, he or she will receive a cool sports pack full of supplies, and it's absolutely free. The first 100 will receive this gift. We have something special for the adults as well that take the tour. Parents can register for free gifts that they can really use. Several exhibits will be on display, including Georgia Chips, providing education and abduction awareness for the protection of children. Cowboy Ricky will be there with his great big grill cooking hot dogs and hamburgers to give to kids. And the superintendents of the Gainesville and Hall County school systems will be there to answer any question you may have about your child's school year. The Back to School Rally takes place at 2101 Athens Highway, August 13th, from 12 noon until 4 p.m. I'll see you there.
Senior Issues is a radio show devoted to promoting quality issues to help our seniors maintain or improve their quality of life. Also, the show can help those with seniors in their family be aware of the various issues that would affect both them and their loved ones. Showtime is 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Thursday, and yes, we are live. We will cover a wide range of subjects over the course of time. If you have a subject that you would like discussed, or if you know of an event that our listening audience should be aware of, call me at 770-380-9727. This is Charles White, Certified Senior Advisor. I hope that we can add you to our listening audience.
Minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the second half of the Communication Corner. I'm Dr. Bill Lampton, your host, talking with Rich Gallagher, CEO and President of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. We had a wonderful, interesting first half hour, and this one will be very lively as well. And to start us off, I'm going to have Christina Rhodes, co-host and program producer, ask a couple of questions that she and Rich and I were bouncing around during the break with the public service announcements. Go ahead with it, please, Christina.
Well, Rich, I just wanted to make sure the listeners were familiar with the opportunities there are for people with disabilities or limited mobility that can come to your facility. I know that there's some adaptive sports programs. Let's talk a little bit about that first.
Christina, before his answer, let's mention why you have a special reason for asking that question, please.
Sure, Bill. I use a wheelchair. I've got a spinal cord injury that happened when I was 10 months old. And so for as long as I can remember, I've been in a wheelchair and have what people refer to as a disability. You and I both know that that may not be an accurate term.
Not to you, it isn't.
Right. But I just, I've always been very active and involved in sports and physical fitness. And so I know and understand the value of what they offer to the disability community. And it's a very valuable thing. People pay lots of money for physical therapy to access the same kind of equipment and resources as they offer at their facilities.
Thanks for sharing that personal perspective. And now, Rich, to your discussion, please, about adaptive sports at the Y.
Sure. I was, again, off air showing you guys a video of something that I was introduced to just several months ago, and that was power soccer. That's one of programs that we have invited in, and again, it is a combination of NASCAR and soccer. You're dealing with these men and women that are in their wheelchairs, but they're more like something that the A team has created with the greats in front and such, but the way they manage themselves in their little bit I don't want to call it a wheelchair, it's more of a vehicle.
Yeah, they're the motorized wheelchairs.
Yeah, they're
so
motorized.
They've got motors out there.
Yeah, they got motors out there, and so really their halftime is more like a pit stop than a but again, our adaptive programs from our adaptive programs to things that again, making our building more accessible, such as, and you were mentioning just a little bit ago about our lift and our pool. We, of course, have a wheelchair lift to get into the pool area for those that are needing some help.
I think Christina said that's zero entry.
Right. The one of our pools also is zero entry, which means it's more like a beach. There's no ledge, so you can go in. And so, again, the YMCA, from even when I was 15, we were teaching adaptive aquatics and also adaptive sports. The YMCA is very big on making sure that it is for everyone, that no one is left out. And, you know, truly it's not a disability. You know, when you said disability, we want to make sure that everybody feels that, we make sure that they're important and they know that, they're important as everybody else. Nobody's left out.
And it's just about providing a different way to be able to do the same things.
That's it. That's absolutely right. And another league that we have, which is called our Heroes League, started in White County, and it is for those with autism, Down syndrome, and other things there. And so with that program in White County has started with just baseball. It is now moving to other sports, and so you have a baseball team that they're absolutely incredible and a blast to watch. It's fun. It's really neat to see a dad push his son around all of the bases after they hit the ball, and the young man, all he can do is give a real big smile and grin. And the funny thing is, though, is we started Heroes League in Lumpkin, and the reason I say funny, I'll get to it, but we started a Heroes League in Lumpkin for baseball, and so this year was their first season that they had, and so we got to play Lumpkin versus White County. Now, you know Lumpkin and White, they're pretty big rivals. And so we had a little guy with Down syndrome, and he said that it was going to be his first away game of his whole life. And now his brothers have always had away games, but he's never had one. And so he said, they better turn the scoreboard off in Lumpkin because we're going to go kick their butt.
All right.
That's what he said. And so, so we've seen the Heroes League really start to blossom. And of course, in Gainesville here, we have the Field of Dreams but we want to make sure that, we want to make sure that we fill those gaps in all those counties and again, making sure that no one, truly is left out. Collier, Cato is our aquatics director here in Hall County, with the YMCA, and he's working very strongly on making sure our adaptive aquatics is there for everybody. And again, meeting all the needs.
This is tremendous. Anything else you want to ask on that, Christina?
I don't think so, Bill. I just really reemphasizing that I believe that it's one of the most beneficial things for people, for anybody, to be active and, you know, play some competitive sports and be out there. But for somebody that's never had the opportunity to do it, it just changes their whole world. So thank you to your organization for providing those opportunities.
Well, and talking with Power Sport or Power Soccer, and if they listen to this, I hope they keep getting a hold of me, because we now are wanting that same league in White and Lumpkin. And for anybody that would hear this in White and Lumpkin the same way, I want them to understand that we would like to see these leagues pop up everywhere.
Is it the Screaming Eagles?
Screaming Eagles is here, and I'm learning all the team names, but there's a bunch of Atlanta, and then, of course, there was one from Charlotte, North Carolina that came in, a team that came in. And again, and if you have never watched it, you have got to. It is. It's NASCAR meets soccer. So
I would imagine the team spirit must be extremely high.
Well, and also you could see the parents and you could see friends and you could truly see them watching them and knowing that, you know, they were doing something truly that they want to be able to do those things. And actually, I wanted to play. I wish I could maneuver a chair that way and play. It looked great. So.
Well, Rich, prior to the program today, I ask you if I had sent you the bio of my co-host, Christina. And we talked some about her, and I talked about her being a no-limit person. Christina, remind us, what are some of the sports activities that you have participated in? One I admire the most is rock climbing. Heck, I wouldn't do that myself. Mention some others.
I have climbed a rock wall. That was fun. Sled hockey. I don't know if you've seen that, Rich. You're just sitting on this little sled and propelling yourself around with little sticks with spikes on the end and hitting the puck around. Totally fun. Wakeboarding, basketball, cycling. The list goes on, but there's so many opportunities out there, and people just can't believe it. Murder ball. I mean, you guys have seen this, right? It's like rugby, you know.
Oh, okay.
And man, it's tough out there. I'll tell you what. Sometimes I think they like a little bit of the shock factor, and having a crowd full of quote unquote able-bodied people go, "Oh my goodness, I would never do that."
I'm sure you're aware, and many of our listeners are aware, that this is a whole new concept about people in wheelchairs. One of the most I think, revolutionary illustrations of how we've changed our attitude. None of us can remember. We've read it in history, though, about Franklin Roosevelt, who got infantile paralysis. I think he was 28 or in his early 30s, somewhere along in there. And the entire time that he was president, for 16 years, you never saw him in a wheelchair. Now, what's most indicative is that when they decided to do the Franklin Roosevelt Memorial in Washington, D.C., and like the Jefferson Memorial and others, there was a lot of debate, well, do we show him in a wheelchair? Fortunately, they did. And that, again, said, this is not a handicap. Was Franklin Roosevelt handicapped? He got us, whatever your political persuasion, I'm not talking about that, but he was our leader through the Depression and through a major war. I don't think that's being handicapped, and he proved that that was not. So it's wonderful the way we've changed. We've got one more station ID, and when we come back from that, Rich, I want us to talk about the relationship between the Y and the Parks and Recreation Program. This is a very relevant, we might could say, hot topic, and we need your perspective on it. Christina, talk about our guest next week as well.
Thanks, Bill. Listeners, you're tuned into the Communication Corner right here on 89.1 WBCX, the voice of Brenau. And we're certainly learning a lot about the Y today from Rich Gallagher, our guest, who's CEO, president of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. Next week's guest will be a couples counselor and author, Barbara J. Peters. Barbara will give her guidelines for building a marriage that lasts. With the divorce rate hovering around 50%, her advice will be both timely and helpful. So be sure to join us next week for Dr. Bill's interview with Barbara J. Peters. We love to hear from our listeners, so we invite you to call the station at 770-538-4744 or Dr. Bill's cell phone at 678-316-4300. And now back to Dr. Bill and Rich Gallagher for the concluding 15 minutes.
Hey, Rich, you and I, being longtime married guys, maybe we'd better listen closely when I have Barbara J. Peters come give us advice about couples next week. Well, now, as I said, I want us to talk about the relationship between the Y and the Parks and Recreation Program. What is that relationship, interaction? What's going to happen? How much is it going to increase? What do you see with it?
Now, what we call our park and rec model, our park and rec model of our YMCA, truly is our White County and Lumpkin models that are now running. 2 years ago in White County, we were invited in to look at their park and rec system, see how we could help. We went in and assessed, and we realized that this would be an excellent partnership. The YMCA in the typical Y builds a building and then runs fantastic programs. But in building buildings, the YMCA does have debt because we have to raise that money from the bottom up, and as we talked about, giving and things of that nature. But with the Parks and Rec partnership, it works for best for both worlds because Splosh builds the buildings.
What is Splosh? Just so some people may not know, we can define that.
Of course, that's a, you know, that's that special tax that you and I agree to, that goes and pays for those special projects. But and when such as NOPONE is being built right now, and it will be built with that. But when that money is appropriated, it is appropriated just to build the buildings, but not for operations. And so, as the YMCA, we are great with operations and programs. But building buildings for us right now is a very difficult task because of the economy. So, again, the partnership is fantastic.
Okay, appreciate that. Now, several other questions still are on my mind. When members talk with you and with other staff members, when they talk about their appreciation for being a member of the Y, what do they mention most frequently as the benefits that rank high with them?
Well, of course, first of all is fitness. But if you talk to some of our seniors and you talk to some, it's a place to belong. There's a group of seniors at J.A. Walters YMCA that gather around a table after water aerobics. And they'll sit down and they'll talk for 45, 50 minutes. And when one is missing the next week, they'll call them and say, hey, we missed you. And it's the benefits, I believe, that I have heard from members is truly fitness, but it's a place to belong.
It's kind of a quasi fraternity.
Yeah. Well, and it's a place where families can get closer together. I posted something on Facebook on all of our branches, and I'd encourage everybody, please get on our Facebook page, going from White Lumpkin or J.A. Walters YMCA and search us for Facebook. But
how's that listed?
You just go type in YMCA Gainesville and it'll pull up,
okay.
Or you can pull Lumpkin. If you search Lumpkin County Y or Hall County Y or White County Y, it'll pull up.
And then we like it when we get there. Is that how we affiliate?
Please do. Please do. But we posted a question on there, truly, why is the Y important to you? And many posted saying it was a safe place. It was a place that we could come and bring our family. It was a place that we could belong. And that to me means a lot. It means that we're getting our mission done. We're truly going in and we're working with these families and hopefully keeping families together. And again, through these hard economic times, the YMCA is a great place to be. It's a free date. Come and work out with your spouse and, come and play basketball with your son. Go swim with your family. We've got a phenomenal water slide, that has two big old bends in it that they go down a corkscrew and into the pool, and to see the kids and dads, and the dads go down it right with the kids. So when you ask what the members say and what they appreciate, I truly believe in the value to them is one, to keep the family together, is for fitness and a place to belong.
Being a facility with some very nice meeting rooms that anybody can see when they go in there, are your meeting rooms used by local civic and other social organizations?
Sure. We've got some groups that come in and use us on a regular basis, as well as Weight Watchers has been in there several times meeting and using our facility. But we are always open. Actually, we've had a couple of churches meeting in our gyms on Sundays. And so, we are used and want to be used. Again, we want to be open to the community in every way that we can. And we encourage any organization out there that is needing a place to meet, give us a call.
Earlier in the program, we talked about the importance of volunteers and that's how you got your first affiliation with the Y, which has led to your professional leadership position. If someone were listening now, and they're saying, gosh, you know, that does sound like a great, exciting human service organization. I would like to be affiliated with it. What are some of the opportunities for volunteers?
For volunteers, we have from coaching, of course. Coaching is the big one. We have hundreds of coaches throughout our three counties. Last night, I got to watch all of our football coaches in White County just volunteering their time. And a lot of people don't realize that all of our coaches are volunteers. And, boy, sometimes they get a little tore up from the parents. The parents are hollering at them. But they're out there on that field doing it because they love to do it. But we have everywhere from coaching to working with different programs and our adaptive programs. Josh's Heroes, our Heroes program, as I said, from White and Lumpkin. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities, so many to mention on this program. But again, if they were to call the front desk at any of our Y's and say, hey, I want to volunteer, we get them connected with the person they need to talk to.
We're talking about coaching and athletics and your summer camp. Certainly one of the things that I think about is every summer we read, as football season starts again, how there are unfortunately illnesses, serious illnesses from people being out in the heat and not taking the precautions. And unfortunately, every year we read about fatalities on that. Your summer camp started and continued during some of our highest days of heat and humidity. What protective measures did you take?
One word, pool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we tried to keep them in the pool, and then of course, I know two of our YMCAs did a lot of the water type stuff. Made sure that they're wearing their swimsuits a lot and got them through the sprinklers and got them through different things. But of course, we have a lot of inside activities too that we do with them, and then field trips as well. So we'd like to call ourselves a premier camp, and making sure that they're just not outside in that hot sun, but they are doing fun activities on the inside and other things that, they wouldn't succumb to that heat. But, again, big word was pool, you know, getting them into the pool and, mm-hmm. and allowing them to have fun, which most of them will tell you that's where they want to be.
Well, I noticed today, looking very quickly at the weather forecast this morning as I was having breakfast, Dallas is going to be 108 today without heat index. That's just 108 temperature. We're going to be in the upper 90s until the weekend, and then only a 30% chance of rain. And if you look at the lake levels around here, you can tell the heat and the absence of rain have had an impact on everybody. And we do, in athletics, have to be extremely careful.
Well, and if I could take a little segue here with talking about the heat. So many people are going into the pools. So many people are going into the lakes. And the YMCA, one of my personal missions that I want to see as the CEO is trying to get all third graders a chance to learn how to swim. In White County, we have a free swim program now starting up in White County that we are wanting all third graders. Last year, we took Mount Yona Elementary. All of their students during school were bused to the pool for a week, and we taught them swim lessons. We only had one out of that group that didn't learn how to swim, and it was because he was pushed off a dock when he was a little guy. And so what we did with him is we gave him a membership and his family a membership to the YMCA, so they had, or here in Hall County, so they had an indoor pool that they could go to and free swim lessons to work with them. But that's a pilot program that we started in White. We are now in Hall County working with several different schools, making sure that we are trying to see eventually my goal might take us 20 years to get it to where we can handle everybody and partnerships, of course, with other indoor pools in town. But we want to see where all third graders get a chance in their school system to learn how to swim, because at third grade, their motor skills are kicked in. They're ready. And we believe it's time, especially us as a lake community. I want to make sure that every kid gets a chance to learn how to swim, because there might be that time, he needs that skill to save his life.
Many people may not be aware, but there are a good number of adults who never learned to swim. And
oh, yeah.
These are people who are very limited then in what they can do safely. Can they go out boating or fishing alone?
And it's never too late, Bill.
No.
I had a lady, she was 88 years old and did not like to swim. Matter of fact, she wore socks in the shower because she said she just didn't like the water touching her feet. So I don't know how that works, but 88 years old, we got her in the water and taught her how to swim. And so, you know, it's never too late. If you're out there today listening to this, we want to encourage you, please say to yourself, it's never too late. I want to learn how to swim. And we know that we can do it. We can get them in the water and get them swimming.
You don't predict when you're going to have accidents. That's why they call them accidents. And a person can never predict when they're going to have an accident out on the water. So they better know how to navigate the
water.
And
all of our bodies float.
Yes.
We float very well. And you know, all of our fat in our body, and most of us have a pretty good bit, will go ahead and float on its own. All we have to do is then motivate that fat across the water. So it's just getting over the initial fear of it.
Rich Gallagher, we're down now to our last few seconds practically. You're the CEO and president of the Georgia Mountains YMCA. It's been wonderful to have you as
Thank
our
you,
guest,
Bill.
And we appreciate it. Any closing comment you would like to make about the mission of the Y, your goals, your purpose?
Well, I would ask right now that in this financial time that we are in, that I would ask if there's anybody out there that would say, hey, I'm looking for something to give to. I'm looking for to either invest my time or invest my money. I would ask that you would look very hard and long at the YMCA and give us a chance to talk with you, and especially Cindy Wilson would love to go into any office and into any arena in any organization and talk with them about the YMCA and the cause. And, you know, again, we ask for everybody's prayers as we go forward as an organization.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Bill Lampton, the Communication Corner, WBCX 89.1 FM, broadcasting Tuesday mornings at 9, rebroadcasting Thursday at 6 a.m. And please be sure to check my blog, thecompletecommunicator.com, so you can see a write-up about today's program and also hear the podcast again. Love to get your phone calls. Call the station, 770-538-4744. My cell phone, 678-316-4300. Thanks for being with us.